So if you were building a skyscraper, you wouldn't just buy a massive pile of steel, hand out hammers to a dozen random people, and just hope they figure it out.
Right, that would be a complete disaster.
Exactly. You'd need an architect, you'd need specialists who actually understand things like soil tension and structural load. But here we are on May 20, 2026, and businesses are pouring billions into AI, essentially buying piles of digital steel with absolutely no blueprint.
Which is pretty terrifying when you think about the scale of
It
that.
really is. So today we're doing a deep dive into the premier guide to leading AI development companies. We are looking at a $1.2 trillion economy that is being built right now. And more importantly, we're looking at the actual architects who are doing the building.
And I think that's a crucial distinction to make right up front. AI is, it's no longer just a novelty feature you tack onto an app so you can sound modern in a press release.
Yeah, those days are over.
Completely. It's a core infrastructure of modern business operations now. We're talking about the foundation of healthcare diagnostics, financial fraud detection, global supply
The
chains.
stuff that keeps the world running.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're a business owner, a manager, or just someone trying to wrap your head around where tech is going, you really need to understand who builds this infrastructure and how they do it. It's basically a survival mechanism at this point.
Let's unpack the how first, then, because before we can figure out who you should hire, we really need to understand what they're actually doing all day. And the source material shows that the day-to-day reality of writing software has, well, it's completely mutated.
Yeah, that traditional paradigm of a developer just sitting in a dark room, manually typing out thousands of lines of syntax, that is rapidly becoming obsolete.
And the source calls the new method vibe coding, which is just a hilarious term.
It is, but it captures the essence perfectly.
It does, but the data they have on it is just wild. They highlight this white paper case study where developers use natural language prompts to assist their work, and it reduced development time by 90% compared to traditional methods.
Which is a staggering efficiency gain.
Right, but I have to stop and ask, like, how does that actually work in practice? Because a 90% reduction makes it sound like traditional coding is just dead. Like,
Yeah.
we're just talking software into existence, like the computer on Star Trek.
I mean, we're not quite at Star Trek levels yet. It's less of a magic wand and more of a, well, think of it as a highly advanced exoskeleton for a software engineer.
Okay, an exoskeleton, I like that.
Yeah, so vibe coding, or AI-powered development, means the human isn't bogged down by the rote grammar of the programming language anymore. They just provide the intent, the logic, the structure, the vibe of what the app needs to do.
And then the AI just takes over the heavy lifting.
Exactly. The AI acts as this interactive compiler. It takes your natural language intent, cross-references it against millions of lines of proven code, and just generates the strict, bug-free syntax required to actually make it run.
So the developer goes from being the bricklayer to basically being the foreman.
A foreman who can instantly manifest a brick wall just by describing it.
Wow.
Yeah, the human is still the architect, making sure the whole building doesn't collapse, right? But the AI is the army of construction workers doing the physical labor.
Which frees up the human to think about much bigger problems. And I think that leads right into another massive trend the source highlights, which is agentic AI and autonomous systems.
Oh, this is where things get really interesting.
Because we aren't just talking about a dumb script that automatically sends a marketing email every Tuesday, right?
Not at all. With agentic AI, the system doesn't just execute one single command. It actually acts as a reasoning engine.
Meaning it figures things out on its own.
Exactly. So if you tell an agent, research our top three competitors, it writes its own subtasks. It realizes, oh, I need web access, so it uses a search tool.
Yeah.
It reads the results, synthesizes the data, formats a nice report, and sends it to you.
It's literally writing and executing its own to-do list.
Without you having to hold its hand through every single step.
But wait, if an AI is writing its own to-do list and making decisions on the fly, how do we keep it from just making things up? Because we've all seen AI hallucinate facts, right? It's a huge problem.
It is a massive problem, especially for businesses. But our source mentions a mechanism solving this called RAG, Retrieval Augmented Generation.
Okay, RAG, from what I understand, is RAG basically forcing the AI to take an open book test using a company's internal data rather than just letting it guess?
That is the exact mechanism,
Yeah.
yeah. Think about it. If you ask an AI about your company's specific employee return policy, and it relies purely on the public internet data it was trained on.
It's going to give you some generic, probably legally inaccurate answer.
Exactly. But R intervenes. Before the AI generates a single word, the system retrieves the specific, verified policy documents from your organization's private database.
Ah, so it pulls the real files first.
Right. It feeds that exact document to the AI and essentially says, answer the user's question using only the information in this text.
That's incredibly clever. It completely restricts the AI's universe of knowledge to just your verified data.
Which dramatically reduces those hallucinations and solves the trust issue for enterprise systems.
Makes total sense. The source also notes that these systems are now multimodal, meaning they can process text, images, audio, and video all at the same time. But I'm stuck on this other term they use, edge AI.
Edge AI is a game changer.
Well, if R is about securely checking an internal library, I'm assuming edge means we're pushing the actual brain of the AI out to the physical edges of a network, like to a security camera or a factory sensor.
You've hit the nail on the head. Traditionally, a smart camera would capture video, send that massive file all the way up to a cloud server, wait for the cloud to process it.
Figure out if it's a trespasser or just a raccoon.
Exactly. And then wait for the alert to be sent back down to the device.
Which creates a ton of latency. That round trip takes time. But pushing all that heavy cognitive processing down to a tiny camera on the edge of the network, wouldn't that just drain its battery or overheat it?
You would think so, but that's where the engineering magic is happening right now. Developers are creating highly compressed, super efficient AI models designed specifically to run on low power hardware.
So the camera does the thinking itself.
Right. And the payoff is instant, real-time decision-making without even needing a reliable internet connection. I mean, if that AI is monitoring a critical heartbeat in a hospital or driving a truck at highway speeds...
Waiting 2 seconds for a cloud server is literally the difference between life and death.
Exactly.
And just as a macro context point, making those models smaller and more efficient ties directly into sustainable AI. Right. Because processing data in giant cloud centers burns massive amounts of electricity.
It does. Shrinking the footprint of these models is becoming a major, major priority as global climate concerns grow.
So, taking a step back here, because things like edge AI, RA, agentic systems, they require such specialized architecture. Mm-hmm. You realize very quickly that your standard neighborhood IT shop cannot build this for you.
No, they simply don't have the specialized knowledge of the underlying mathematics and the complex data structures required.
Which brings us perfectly to the who. Who is actually building this stuff? Our source provides a list of the top 10 AI development companies. And rather than just reading them off like a phone book, I want to look at how they're grouped.
That's a good approach.
Let's start with what I'm calling the value and agility tier. These are firms charging anywhere between $25 and $49 an hour.
Okay, the highly accessible tier.
Right. So we have MPAT, who holds a perfect 5 out of 5 rating on Clutch, and they specialize in fintech and health tech. We have Liubit, focusing on AI model design. There's Simform, handling cloud and DevOps.
And Azumo is in there too, building those agentic systems we just talked about.
Yes, and Enthuse, who specialize in custom AI and machine learning operations. But I have a huge theory, or really a question here. How on earth are they making a profit at $25 an hour if this technology is so cutting edge? Are they just using cheap labor?
It isn't about cheap labor at all. It's actually about the commoditization of specific AI models.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when you look at this value tier, firms like MPAT or Enthuse aren't generally building a massive foundational AI model from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Building something like GPT-4 costs hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. They are OpenAI.
Exactly. Instead, they are absolute masters of fine-tuning existing systems. They take powerful open-source models that are already out there and adapt them to your specific business case.
Okay, so they aren't inventing the wheel. They're just customizing the tires for your specific car.
That's a great way to put it. For example, the source notes that Enthuse utilizes specialized visual recognition models like YOLO.
YOLO? Like you only live once?
Close. In this context, it stands for you only look once. It's a highly optimized, pre-built neural network that allows AI to process and actually see live video feeds in real time.
Oh, wow.
So by leveraging these existing powerful frameworks like YOLO, these firms can keep their development costs incredibly low while still delivering really cutting-edge functionality for you.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's move up to the mid-tier specialists. These guys are charging $50 to $99 an hour. This group includes Scopic, who builds tailored AI voice assistants, and GenAI Labs, specializing in multi-agent forecasting.
And Somatosoft is in there too, focusing heavily on IoT development.
Right. But the real standout in this tier is Master of Code Global. Their scale is just it's almost difficult to comprehend. The source says they have delivered over 1,000 projects, and their AI solutions reach over 1 billion users worldwide.
Yeah, 1 billion users changes the engineering math entirely.
I can't even imagine.
At that scale, you are dealing with immense multi-agent orchestration. And the business impact reflects that. The source reports that Master of Code drives outcomes like 15x revenue growth and 80% improvements in customer satisfaction.
So this mid-tier is really defined by companies that can handle massive user bases and just deep integration into existing enterprise platforms like Salesforce or AWS.
Exactly. They are scaling up the complexity significantly.
Which brings us to the enterprise heavyweight on the list. The source highlights Sage IT, charging $102 to $149 an hour. They're described as an integration-led AI partner. But I really need to push back on this pricing.
Okay, let's hear it.
If MPAT gets a perfect 5 out of 5 rating while charging $25 an hour to fine-tune a model, why on earth would a company pay Sage IT up to $150 an hour? What possibly justifies a 500% price markup?
Well, because building a clever standalone app is fundamentally different from executing a massive global digital transformation.
Okay, how so?
Let's say you are a multinational telecom company. You aren't just asking a firm to build you a cute chatbot for your website. You are asking them to weave modern generative AI into fragile 30-year-old legacy mainframes that currently manage billions of dollars in daily transactions.
Oh, man. So if they write one single bad line of code, the entire billing system for millions of customers just goes offline.
Precisely. It's catastrophic. And they have to do this across international borders while adhering to the strictest, most complex data privacy laws on the planet.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. So Sage IT's core value is integration-led delivery. You are paying a premium to de-risk the project entirely. They have deep, proven partnerships with massive enterprise platforms like SAP and ServiceNow.
So you aren't just paying for code.
No, you are paying for bulletproof governance, extreme security, and the absolute guarantee that they won't accidentally break your multi-billion dollar company.
Okay, that definitely clarifies things. It's essentially the difference between hiring a brilliant local contractor to renovate your kitchen versus hiring an international engineering firm to build a nuclear power plant.
That is exactly the dynamic.
So if you're listening to this and you're ready to build, how do you actually choose between these tiers?
Yes.
The source breaks down several evaluation criteria that are pretty critical.
The first one is technical expertise and tech stack alignment. It is not enough for a firm to just say they know AI. You have to evaluate if they know the specific functional tools your business actually needs.
Give me an example of what that looks like in practice.
Sure. If your goal is to build a visual quality control system for a manufacturing line, you need a partner whose tech stack emphasizes computer vision, so things like Python and PyTorch.
Right.
But if you want to build a secure text-based internal search engine for your HR department, you need a partner skilled in RGI architectures and web frameworks, like AWS Bedrock or React. The tools have to match the architectural blueprint.
And the source also stresses looking at cost versus value. They emphasize that the initial build price isn't everything. You really have to look at the total cost of ownership,
which a lot of companies completely overlook.
Exactly. Because an AI firm that provides continuous post-deployment services might offer way greater long-term ROI than a firm that builds it cheaply but just vanishes the second the system breaks.
And of course, testimonials and scalability are key too. If your new AI tool goes viral internally, can the architecture they built actually handle a 10x surge in traffic?
And that leads directly to the realities of the development process itself, which I'm glad you brought up because I have a very logistical question about that.
Sure, go for it.
Let's say I've evaluated the criteria, I picked a mid-tier firm, I signed the contract. What actually happens on day one? Do I just like email them a giant zip file of my company's data and wait for them to send me a finished AI?
I wish it were that easy. It is a vastly more collaborative and honestly, sometimes tedious process than that.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, the pipeline almost always starts with a deep dive into data gathering and cleansing. You cannot train an AI on messy data. In fact, organizing, labeling, and vectorizing a company's data so an AI can actually read it, that often takes up a massive portion of the entire project timeline.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Always. Yeah. Every time. Once the data is finally prepped, then they design and train the model. And this is followed by rigorous testing to ensure accuracy and to check for hidden biases in the outputs.
Which is huge for liability.
Absolutely. Then comes the really tricky part, which is deploying it into your existing systems without disrupting your daily operations. But I'd argue the most critical phase is actually what happens after deployment.
The continuous monitoring part.
Yeah.
Because AI isn't just a set-it-and-forget-it piece of software like Microsoft Word.
Exactly. Models suffer from something called model drift. As the real world changes, you know, customer behavior shifts, new products launch, new slang develops, the AI's performance will naturally degrade over time.
Because its foundational data is no longer perfectly aligned with current reality.
Precisely. So it requires constant tuning and maintenance to remain sharp.
You know, to really ground all of this theory, the model drift, the RAG architectures, the deep learning, let's look at exactly what this looks like when it hits the real world.
Good idea. Let's make it concrete.
The source highlights several case studies from Scopic, which is one of those top mid-tier firms we discussed, and it really shows the crazy breadth of what's possible here.
The cross-industry applications are truly what make this a trillion-dollar market.
Let's start with the HR and recruitment sector. Scopic partnered with a company called CodeAid to build an AI interviewer tool. Now, this doesn't just schedule meetings. It actually reads a candidate's CV, generates customized, skill-based technical questions on the fly, and then conducts a real-time AI-driven evaluation of the candidate's answers.
That is incredible.
And mechanistically, it does this without hallucinating because it uses a form of retrieval generation to compare the candidate's spoken answer against a strict, predefined rubric of correct technical concepts.
Oh, that's really smart.
Right. And the source notes that since its launch, it successfully graded 294 out of 471 candidates.
Just think about the hundreds of human hours saved just in preliminary screening alone.
Oh, it's massive.
And if we look at a completely different field, like healthcare, Scopic worked with OrthoSelect to build DBS AI. This was a completely different mechanistic challenge. They had to build a deep learning model from the ground up to generate highly precise 3D models of patients' teeth.
Wait, why did they need deep learning for that? Couldn't just regular traditional 3D software do that?
Not really. Traditional software struggles with highly irregular organic shapes. I mean, no two sets of teeth are alike. Mm. But a deep learning neural network excels at recognizing organic patterns.
Oh,
so by automating these complex orthodontic case setups, they significantly improve the accuracy of treatments and drastically reduce the manual adjustment time that the human orthodontist had to do.
So we go from grading human speech in a job interview to literally mapping the microscopic topography of a tooth.
It's quite a jump.
And then we have customer service. See, Scopic collaborated with Abbey Connect, a virtual receptionist service. They integrated AI to provide instant conversational summaries and real-time sentiment analysis.
Meaning, the AI is actually analyzing the caller's word choice and tone markers to determine their emotional state.
Yes, which allowed the human receptionists to handle complex or angry calls much more effectively. It boosted customer satisfaction dramatically, all without increasing the staff's workload.
And finally, just to show the fully creative side of the spectrum, they partnered with Chroma Coloring Book in the entertainment sector.
Oh, I read about this one.
Yeah, they integrated a generative AI feature where users just type in simple text prompts and the AI generates completely personalized, highly detailed adult coloring pages.
It's just fun.
Exactly. And the source notes, this simple indication led to a massive surge in app downloads and positive reviews.
You know, looking at all four of these case studies, CodeAid, OrthoSelect, Abbey Connect, and Chroma, I realize AI isn't just software in the traditional sense. It's really acting as a cognitive utility.
A cognitive utility. I like that.
Yeah, think about it. Just like electricity is a baseline utility that powers wildly different machines, a refrigerator, a desk lamp, an electric car. These underlying AI models are a new type of utility that powers cognition.
That's a profound way to look at it.
Right. Whether that cognitive task is evaluating a software engineer's interview, mapping a bicuspid, sensing a frustrated caller's mood, or drawing a picture of a dragon, the underlying mechanisms are driving the exact same outcome across wildly different industries.
That is a phenomenal way to frame it. AI is a raw cognitive utility, and these development firms we've been talking about, they're basically the electricians wiring it into your house.
Exactly. Which brings us right back to where we started. We have covered a massive amount of ground today. We explored the mechanics of vibe coding, where developers act as foremen directing AI compilers.
We looked at how agentic systems write their own workflows, how ARAG prevents hallucinations.
And why edge AI is so critical for eliminating latency. we navigated the landscape of the architects themselves from the incredible agile value of MPAT and Intuos utilizing open source models.
To the billion user scale of Master of Code, all the way up to the enterprise de-risking power of Sage IT.
And we saw the tangible cognitive utility applied in real life, HR, healthcare, customer service, entertainment.
It paints a very clear picture of an industry that is fundamentally rewiring how human commerce operates.
It really does. And to you, the listener, the ultimate message from the source material is pretty stark. Staying competitive in a $1.2 trillion market means finding the right architect to pour your foundation.
It isn't optional anymore.
No, it is survival. You cannot build a skyscraper with just a hammer.
Which leaves us with a pretty fascinating question to consider as we wrap up. If AI-powered vibe coding is already reducing development time by 90%, and agentic systems are increasingly managing their own complex workflows from start to finish,
what does the role of the human client look like in 10 years?
Exactly.
Yeah.
As the technical barrier to creating complex enterprise-grade software drops to near zero, will the most valuable business skill left simply be the ability to imagine what needs to be built next?
The power of pure imagination becoming the ultimate business competency. I absolutely love that. And with that thought, we will wrap up today's deep dive. Thank you for joining us as we explored the blueprints of tomorrow. Keep building, keep imagining, and we will catch you on the next one.